Okay. Oh, Merry Christmas. Glad y'all are here today. I went and got him. You know why? Because I love him. You know what a brother does? You know what you do? Are you kidding me? Look, I wanted to be with him about as much as I think he wanted to be with me. Just the way it was. So, Gary asked me a minute ago if I needed to warm up anymore or whatever. I did. I threw the ball 91 miles an hour in Wilmington and was clocked there and talked to a couple of people. And I'd be happy to warm up, but we'll have to get someone that'll catch me because he wouldn't. Gary would say, yeah, I'll throw if you don't throw it too hard. Every time he opened his mouth, Gary, let's go throw. I know you'll throw it too hard. I'll be happy to throw, but you got to catch me. Hey, I want to update you a little bit with my white Porsche. I didn't bring my white Porsche with me. That's my wife, Porsche. And I didn't bring her with me this year. I mean, this service, they didn't tell us how bad her blood clot was. We found out like a week and a half ago. It went from her ankle behind the knee and from the knee to the inside of her crotch there. She had like 90%+ blockage. We just knew she had a blood clot. So we did the hospital spill and all that and all this other kind of stuff. The Coumadin, how many here know what Coumadin is? She's Coumadin. I don't know what Coumadin is. Or the was it Rovalox or Novalox or the shots I was giving her in the belly. Never done anything like that in my life. They told her, you're going to have to take these shots for like a week. Portia said, I am not doing anything. Tell him. So that's what I did. It's called Novalox or whatever that stuff is. I don't know what it is, but we did that, got it done. But I got an early Christmas present. He talked in the early service about how he would bug the snot out of Mama till she'd let him open a present early. And she'd say, well, go ahead and open it then. You missed a great first service. Praise the Lord for that. Well, I got a good early Christmas present because this blood clot from the ankle to the knee and from the back of the knee to her inside of her crotch is gone. Hey, I don't need no present under the tree. But you know, on a serious note, honest, we were good either way. I mean, when no one's around, and it's just you and your partner, and you're talking, and the Lord's in the conversation, we were good either way. We were good either way. But he did a beautiful thing. Getting that one gone, getting this one gone, she still has a small one behind her knee, and baby, we're working on it, okay? And that's why she's not with me, but her heart's here. And she said, tell them people, keep praying for me. So, if you can pray for Portia, say amen. If you can pray for my wife, say amen. If you can pray for somebody that loves the Lord more than she loves me, say amen. Beautiful. I'm good with that, and I'm going to tell her. And Roger's putting it on tape, so you're in. No getting out of it. You're in. Okay, today is going to be kind of goofy, maybe. Fruit and nuts. Gary probably thought when he saw this red box here that I had him something. It wouldn't be a small hair dryer, okay? But it is an object lesson for today. Oh, he just knew I was going to call him back up when he got halfway down and hand him something. It ain't happening. No, I drove 700 miles. You didn't. Oh, okay. Hey, I was here for Elise's graduation. Praise the Lord for Elise. Oh, praise the Lord for Elise. Wow. Wow. That's why I came. That's why I'm here. And the icing on top of this
cake is you folk, making me feel at home and loving on me. It's unbelievable how I feel while I'm here, because I don't get this at home. And I want to encourage you to continue to love the Lord first. Certainly love your pastor as unto the Lord, and the Lord will bless your life for loving him as unto the Lord. So continue to do that at Fellowship Church. I mean, look at you. It's unbelievable. This is unbelievable. I want to talk about fruit and nuts. Now, that's about as wacky, because Gary said, I want you to talk about something about Christmas. I said, okay, yeah, and that's what Gary said. I hope it ain't about fruitcake. I hate fruitcake. So I'm not talking about fruitcake. But you might think, well, maybe he's going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit that we see in Galatians 5. No, not talking about that. Well, nuts. Maybe he's going to talk about some of the religious nuts in the Bible with their false gods and idol worship. And no, that ain't happening either. I'm not talking about that. Fruit and nuts. Fruit and nuts. And Christmas. That doesn't jive unless you were in the Clark household. For Christmas, the stuff under the tree. We got clothes. I hated getting clothes. Did I need clothes? Are you kidding? Every one of my pants had holes in the knee. I needed clothes. Mama saw we had clothes. My socks had more than one hole. All socks have a hole. Get your foot in it. But mine had more than one. Okay? And I got socks for Christmas, just like y'all did when you were little. You don't want that. You want something to play with. That's what we want. That's what we want. And, you know, Mama made sure that we had something, you know, that we could play with or whatever that we could open. Because that was our Christmas. I can't remember a single toy. I know that I got a bicycle. All the boys walked up to Western Auto and we rode the three bikes home. Gary wasn't in on it because he was too little. We rode spider bikes. I remember that. But as far as toys, getting toys, I don't remember. What I do remember about Christmas is fruit and nuts. That is so crazy. What we would do, we'd go in there and open our presents and all that stuff. And then Mom would open the door that went into the living room, and it was a glass, had the glass door in it. And there would be a box there, and there'd be a box here. So we'd go over to the box and open it. And you could smell fruit when you opened the door. You knew it was fruit. You knew what was coming. There's a box of fruit here. We'll call this the oranges box. It's not wrapped. It's not painted up with a bow. It's just a box. But what Mom did, she had bags of different nuts laid on top of that fruit. And you walked over here to the apples and you opened that box. Same thing. Fruit and nuts. That's what we got for Christmas. So that's what I'm going to talk about, is our fruit and nuts. Now, if you wanted an apple, if you wanted to get you an orange out of this box, you couldn't reach down and just get the orange. Couldn't do that. What you had to do, you had to move or dig through the nut to get to the fruit. So, that's what we would do. Take a bag of pecans, or the English walnuts that we didn't get often. We got pecans because they were all the way around the house. We'd go outside and pick up pecans off the ground. And we used the old number 32 nutcracker. Y'all know what that is. That's what we did. That's what we did for pecans and walnuts. But Mama also had those hard Brazil nuts. Y'all know what those are. They're, oh, I love them. I love them. The 32 won't work. 32, the old 32 will not work. Oh boy. Either a brick or we had to use a hammer. But to get to the fruit, we had to dig through the nuts. Is that crazy? Is that crazy? Now, there's a real story in that. there's a real story there. There's a real way of how things work there. Normally, if we give a gift to someone at Christmas, we go to where they wrap it, or if we're not going to have them wrap it, what do we ask for? I need a box. I need a box to put something in. That's the way it is at Christmas. You wrap your box up, you put it under there. Sort of like when we went over here and opened these and looked in. That's what you do with your box. You open it up. And you look in it. Now, how many sides on this box? Is it? How many sides on this box? Well, I see 1, 2, 3, 4. There's an inside and outside. There's a top side and a bottom side. And there's an upside and a downside. You ever see on a box that said this side up? So I know there's an upside. Okay? That's amazing about a box. And you know what? We all have one. We all have a box. And God sends different things our way that go in our box every day. We don't know if it's going to be good till we open the box and see what it is. Some we love. But I want to primarily look at downside boxes. Roger, really quick.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
We don't. We never know. And I've stuck just a couple in my box here that for you to hear. A couple of the upside. Can I do a couple of upside for you? Is that okay? Say amen. Let's do the upside boxes really quick. You won't believe this. 1979, I got a son. That is definitely an upside box I got. Sent to me with my name on it. That's my box. And you get them too. This is 1981. I've got a daughter. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for that box. That's fantastic. Thank you for that. That's wonderful. Oh my gosh, here's a downside one. In 1964, I broke both my arms. Was that a downside box? Was it? Or was it? Could it be considered an upside box? Because after everything was said and done and I got out of the cast, hey, look, for like 10 weeks, I milked it, baby, okay? I had 2 casts on. I was 10. I was pitiful. It's the most ice cream I've ever eaten in my life. People opened doors for me. They did everything for me. Here, honey, I'll put that sock on. I go into Dr. White's office, get them cut off, and I go back out to the car to open the door. And Mama's already walked around to the other side. She didn't open the door. I said, Mama, and I'm going, she said, open that door. It was over. But Dr. White said that my wrists were stronger after with the new calcium than they were before I broke them. Maybe that's why I can throw a ball. I don't know. Have no idea. But I thought it was a downside. Could be an upside box. We don't know. You never know what you're going to get. Here's one.
Years ago, Thanksgiving, my mama, that's my box. My mama's murdered. That's my box. Is that downside? Is it? Is it downside? We never know what we're going to get. Look around you. I know since that happened, this preacher's ministry's been in hyperdrive. Is that a downside thing? There's people all over the world that know my mama now. Was that a downside box? I hated it when it came. I don't want that box. But you know what? Hey, there's an upside to that box I got. And you could be getting old, smelly, crappy downside box. And we don't know exactly what we're getting if we'll just hold on. The whole key to that's Romans 8:28. And we know that all things, the murder was a thing. And they worked together for good to them that what? Love God. That's the key. Has your preacher loved God through that? Look what's happened. Look what's happened here. I would say that's pretty doggone good upside box. At the time, it wasn't easy to get down. That was a good box I got. And you know, I came to the place, and it took me the longest time to say, that I don't want my mama back. Boy, that wasn't easy for me. I was so plugged into my mama. And it wasn't mom, and it wasn't mother, it was mama. Y'all know what I'm saying? But God is good. God is sovereign. And He loves the pants off every one of us. Just because you get something, and it may not be good to you, doesn't mean it ain't good and perfect. Because every good and perfect gift, like from the book of James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from who? It's from Him. And just because what you got ain't good, don't mean it ain't good. It may not be good to you right now. But you can have the faith to say, Lord, I know that all things work together for good. Good. And it does. Look at Fellowship Church. Look around you. Look at Fellowship Church. You kidding me? God's right in the middle of this box. Thank you, Lord, for that box. Thank you for that box. Wow. Wow. I want to ask you, who prepares our box? Who fills our box? Who does it? Can y'all say the Lord? Can you say the Lord? The Lord fills our box. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. But this box hurts. I hate this box. How can I thank the Lord for this box? Because this thing stinks. And I know it's 20 years later that I can say what I can say about Mom. I couldn't years ago. I just couldn't do it. But we don't know everything. Can we look at Isaiah 55:8? Look what Isaiah says. That my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, says who? Who said that? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than yours. If you could have told me 20 years ago what was going to happen, you kidding? This guy could have left the ministry. This guy could have been angry at God. We all could have been angry at God. God, you killed our mama. It's been a beautiful thing. It's been a beautiful thing. Wow. Wow. See, God's timetable is not restricted to ours. As far as the beginning and the end, well, He's already there. So the Lord knows about Fellowship Church, where Fellowship Church will be and how it will end up. He's already there. We're going through the motions of faith and obedience. That's what we're doing. We're marching there, but He's already there. He's not limited to where we are. That's why these boxes scare us to death. Cancer? Are you kidding?
A blood clot? I can just say, thank you, Lord. Because you know what's best for me when you open your box that has your name on it. Because it's made for you. And it says right here, Jesus said in Revelation, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So He already knows what's happening with your little box. Okay? God prepares and allows our boxes. I want to look really quick at a guy here who got a nastier box than you're ever going to get anyway. Flat out. It's been horrible. You wouldn't believe how bad this downside box was. And you're all familiar with it anyway. It's in the book of Job 1, 8 through 12. The Lord says to Satan, who makes our boxes? Who makes our boxes? He has a permissive will and He has a perfect will. He will allow things in your life. Because all things work together for good to them that love Him. And that's what He's doing. He's working all things together for good. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect, upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. Satan says to the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge around him? Won't let me do anything to him about his house, all he's got. You've blessed the work of his hands, his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, touch all that he has. He will curse you to your face. You let me get in his hair just a half a day. He won't even know who you are. I'll eat his lunch. That's what he told him. And the Lord said to Satan, all that he has, you can take control of. Everything he's got. Anybody here ever lost everything you ever had? Anybody? Wow. Very few. Very few. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. That means you can't kill him. But you can take all he's got. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Who wants to get that box? Anybody here want to get that box? We don't want that downside box. Uh-uh. That's horrible. That's horrible. God prepared a box for Job. How did Job finish? Did he go out and crawl under a bus somewhere? He loved God. He clung to the Lord. The Lord blessed, gave him more than he ever dreamed of having. Certainly more than he had to start with. He finished sumptuously fair. Unbelievably well. That's how Job finished. Yeah. And there's another guy right here that you already know the story of. And it's Joseph. You know Joseph's story. God put a really nasty box together. He allowed it for Joseph. Y'all know the story of Joseph. What's happened? He's betrayed, sold into slavery by his brothers. It's horrible. His family. He's in an alien land. He's put in jail under a false charge with Potiphar's wife. It's terrible. What a box to get. It's terrible. And he was that way for years, pulling time in jail, Joseph. And after years of suffering, he has a second son. His second son is Ephraim. Ephraim. Now guess what that Ephraim means? Any of y'all know what that means? Ephraim. It means God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Are you kidding me? You mean you can be a fruitful when you get a hell box? One that you can't stand? It's horrible. I can't endure this. I'll end my life. I don't want to live anymore. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This was horrible what he did. Wow. But he has a boy, second son, calls him Ephraim. God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Hey, there's probably somebody here this morning that word affliction probably should be stamped right there. You're probably enduring some kind of an issue that's going on in your life. I don't know anything else to call it other than affliction. Could you be fruitful in your affliction? I think pretty much most of us have something in our life that if we were honest, it probably just tears at our gut. Probably something somewhere. But can we be fruitful in that? Joseph did. Enough that he named his son Ephraim, because the Lord calls me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Is there fruit in affliction? Joseph claims God's fruitfulness while he's still there. He's still in the land of pain. He's still suffering. And a lot of us are in affliction. And pain and grief and weariness is in our box right now. It's in there. And it won't let us see or understand what God's doing, but God is good. God knows what's best for you more than you do. Your God knows what's better for Gary than Gary does. That's why this stuff comes in our life and we don't know how to deal with it. So we have to do some mean lean. I have to lean on the Lord. I have to do a mean lean. Because I can't stand on my own, Lord. You got to prop me up here. You got to prop me because I can't make it. I can't stand here. And I think that's amazing that you never really know what you're going to get. But you are blessed indeed if you had the joy of being able to say that God has made me fruitful in the land of this affliction. Hey, there's affliction at Fellowship Church. There's affliction here. But God is making it fruitful in the affliction. You know why? Because that's who we are. We all got our aches and pains. And we're just not there yet. We're not there yet. But there's coming a day when the heartache shall come. Y'all know the song. Affliction. Affliction. Is there fruit in affliction? Could there be fruit in affliction? I think there could be. We can look at the life of Joseph and see fruit. Named his boy, Ephraim. I think that's fantastic. And how did Joseph wind up? How did he wind up? He was the number two guy right under Pharaoh over the whole kingdom. He's the number two guy. Joseph? But see, Joseph recognized that when he got that box from the Lord with the jail time, with the brothers throwing him away, he calls his brothers together at the end. And he said, guys, the blame is not yours. He said, the Lord put me here. The Lord did this. Because the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the... He told his brothers, I don't lay charge to you. God put me here. Wow. Wow. How many of us want to do that? Now we want to do the blame game. Wasn't for you, I'd be doing great. You kidding? Took everything I got. It's crazy. It's crazy. Your box comes with your name on it. This Christmas, what I wish for you is that you are with the family that you love and that they love you and that your presence could be your presence. The presence that you give could be your presence. Could be a situation in your family where I just don't talk to her anymore. Can't stand to be around him. The best presence would be your presence. this Christmas. And you can say, that nut at Fellowship Church told me to do that, and I really feel better now. Why don't y'all try that? Why don't you do that as far as your presence that you want to give? If you don't have anything to give, give your presence. That's a great gift to give. Give yourself. Give yourself. Because we're going to be celebrating a birthday in about, a week and a half, 2 weeks? It's a birthday. This is a birthday celebration. That's what Christmas is all about. That's why Jesus came. I mean, we had the parchments, we had the written word prior to that, but God loved us so much, He sent the God-man. We didn't have to just read the parchments. There was a God-man that actually came. That's how much God loved us. He sent His Son to seek and to save that which was lost. How many here were lost? Absolutely. Can I tell you a story? Can I tell you a story? Carrie standing at the kitchen sink. She just finished the dishes. She's been married 4 years, has two small girls. She's got them in the high chair feeding them lunch right now. She married her high school sweetheart. She has no idea why she's going to do what she's fixing to do. She goes to the phone and calls Meemaw, which is one house over behind the parking lot next to him. She says, "Meemaw, can you come watch the girls just a minute?" Meemaw says, "I'll be right there." When she gets there, Carrie's gone. She's not in the house. The little girls are still in their high chair with SpaghettiOs. The phone rings that night, and it's Carrie. Want to know how the girls are. David says, "Where are you? We miss you. We love you. What's happened?" She hangs the phone up. This goes on. She calls maybe 3 times a week. She's been gone 4 months. Every time David asks, "Where are you?" she hangs the phone up. Pretty crappy box. Real downside there, isn't it? So what David winds up doing after talking to his mom and dad and his grandma, he takes the money out of savings and borrows a little bit of money for an investigator. Finds her 2 states over in a hotel. Here's where she is. He gets in the car. He drives most of the night, gets there early the next morning. He goes up and knocks on the door. She comes to the door. Opens the door and their eyes meet. She falls in his arms, crying. He said, "Come on, honey, I'll take you home." That's what he did. Almost a week goes by and David's sitting with her in the evening holding her hand. He says, "I just never understood how a person could do that. Just leave. We loved you. We missed you. I didn't get it. I'm still having a hard time understanding how you could do that." And she said, "Well, honest, I wasn't quite sure you love me." He said, "But why now? Why did you come home? How do you know I love you now?" She said, "Because you came. Jesus came. That's how much He loves you. He came." Merry Christmas. Merry, this is a birthday. He came. We don't have to count on something we can read. Jesus came and can live in your heart from today on. He can change your life from this morning
till the day that you leave this planet. That can happen today because He came. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because He came. Father, thank You for Christmas. Thank You for even old stinky boxes that come our way. Because we know that all things work together for good to them that love You. And if You are sending something to put in our box, we know that it came from the hands of a Father that loves us and cares for us more than we can ever love each other or care for each other. Help us to be happy this Christmas because Jesus came. He came to seek and to save. From the cradle to the cross, it was all for the love of us. Didn't have to come. Didn't have to stay on that cross. It was love that kept Him there. So we honor You today. We praise You today. Christmas is a happy time for all the followers of Jesus Christ. Help us to love each other. But even more than that, to love You more. Draw us close to You. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank the Lord for the Word today. Amen. Thank you, brother.